Earth, this current Earth, is not our final home, right? So it's not a home that I would need to protect. Because it's not, as a Christian, it's not my home. I have no ownership. This is not my inheritance. I'm waiting for God to give me my land.
Can we really say it's got nothing to do with me? The verse clearly says, be in the world, but not of.
It's been 2 years since Russia invaded Ukraine and escalated the Russo-Ukrainian war. About 7 months since Israel, or Gaza rather, fired on Israel and I guess escalated the whole conflict between them, and it's now technically a proxy war between Israel and Iran, right? Just last week, Iran fired about 330 drones and missiles towards Israel, or against Israel, or at Israel, in apparently a retaliation against an attack on their consulate in Syria. Just yesterday, Rishi Sunak, the UK Prime Minister, for those that don't know, announced that he'll be spending £75 billion towards defence spending. In essence, they've announced that the UK is now on war footing. So, it's no longer a ludicrous suggestion to say that World War III is around the corner. There was a time people were making jokes about it, but now it is a much more realistic situation. So, off POV. Let me start by asking. Based on what I've just told you, you may have known some of it, you may not have known some of it, but based on what I've just told you, do you think a global scale conflict that could be termed as World War III is inevitable? Likely or unlikely? What do you think?
Inevitable.
Okay. All right.
I want to go with likely.
Inevitable.
I'll go likely, unlikely direction. Huh? Likely, unlikely direction.
Likely and unlikely
direction.
I don't think you can choose both. Those are opposites.
No, it's not both. If you are walking, you're either if I'm unlikely, I'm either unlikely heading towards the inevitable or likely heading towards the other direction. So I'm just saying.
Okay, all right. So why do you think it's likely such unlikely?
Okay, I think it's likely because it's happened before, twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going back to biblical terms, war was a part of not everyday life, but war is a part of humanity. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the same method that God used to give his children at the time a home, mm-hmm. right? And they went around conquering other nations and stuff like that. It's the way that you dominate and so on and so forth. So that's why I think it's likely. I wouldn't put it off. I wouldn't say no, it's not going to happen. And seeing what is happening now. I mean, let's be fair. Okay, so growing up, Iran, Iraq have always kind of been like part of life. Mm-hmm. There was always something going on there. You know, USA was always there. We have the beat. Osama bin Laden's and mm-hmm. who was the other one? Was it Gaddafi? The one that Trump was saying, we went in, boom, boom. You know, when Trump gave a press conference, I'm gonna have to get that clip for you guys.
I remember that. I just can't remember.
It was a comparison between how. Okay, so let me ask this: who did Barack Obama kill, and who did Trump kill? Okay, fine.
I know one of them was Osama bin Laden.
Yes. So it was a
Osama
bin Laden.
What
yeah.
did I say?
I don't know what you said.
I just sounded it. I didn't finish. But anyway, so it was a comparison between Barack Obama and Trump giving a press conference after the strike had hit. Mm-hmm. It's very comical. Anyway,
What, the strike?
No, the
press conference.
The press conferences. That one was like what you're saying. It never really shook any bones, you know, because we grew up. I remember going way back when, you know, even the 9/11 tower stuff, it's around that time. These are things that we kind of grew up with. So it's kind of easy to be like, eh, eh. Mm. So I do agree with Russia and Ukraine. That was like a modern day war. That it's not even like a Cold War or Civil War. It's like they are shooting each other kind of war, you know. Mm-hmm. So that kind of was like, okay, all right, okay. So people do still fight like the way they used to, because we'll see British people training, we'll be laughing like soldiers, like, oh, come on, we're never gonna need you. The best that happens is when they go back into their own country for martial law. So seeing it like that, and I know it happened, I know this is gonna sound like ignorance, and because we know these kind of conflicts happen in real life somewhere the world. But on that global scale, it was kind of like, okay, all right, oh, wow. So now adding to what you're saying now with the whole Iran thing, which I was aware of that. I'm like, okay, a few people getting involved. And obviously because of the whole NATO thing, whatever, people are saying that literally they're like a border away from, you know, getting the whole Western world involved in something like that kind mm-hmm. of thing. So I do think it's very, very likely based on that. The only thing I want to be hopeful about, because obviously the Bible says that there will be rumors of war and whatnot. It doesn't say that, you know, the world is going to kill itself.
There'll be wars and rumors of wars.
Yes.
So you've just missed out the bit where it says there'll be
wars. Fine. There will be wars and rumors of wars. But what I'm trying to say is that the world is not going to wipe itself up. There's not going to be a nuclear bomb dropped and then half of the world is gone because Christ still has to find the world to judge.
if half the world is gone, that's about 4 billion people still about. That's still a lot of people.
Yeah, but then
to see the second coming.
Yeah, but we need at least 6.5 billion people. Have you seen the plagues in Revelation? We need people to suffer that.
Anyway, that's fine. Yeah, that's besides the point.
Yeah, so. Yeah, so I'm saying that. Yeah, no, because you interrupted my thought. So yeah, so that's why I'm saying that it's likely to happen. It mm-hmm. could happen. I'm saying unlikely because I want to believe that with everything that's happening in this world, right now, I would want to believe that we can avoid a full-grown World War III. You know, I want to believe that the conflict will stay there, especially when we talk about the Western worlds, mm-hmm. And Africa, for example. Africa's got no reason getting involved in such things.
I think this is the thing about terming things World War III, because there are some people, some commentators that you hear, and they'll say, technically, World War III has already started.
It depends on the players involved. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yeah. And that's where they come from. Because, obviously, when we think World War I, World War II, I think sometimes we think, like, the whole world was fighting.
Was involved,
like,
yeah.
Everyone was fighting. But no, it's a political thing.
There was Ngena in Kuvuki Land that had no idea what was happening.
Did you just say
Ngena in Kuvuki Land?
Didn't know there was a war happening. I'm backing your point.
Who's
fictional character?
She's basically being.
No, that's fine. But at least use a country that we can understand or something. But okay,
that was the whole point, to not use a country we can understand to make the point.
Okay, oh, fine. But I mean,
she just needed to sound.
I didn't get
she needed it to
it
sound forward. African.
It went over my
head. I got it. Don't worry. If
but
I said
okay.
It, don't worry.
So
thank I got you.
It. So technically,
you can sit next to me next week.
So technically, for it to be termed as World War III, NATO and its allies just have to get involved. As soon as they get involved, technically it's the Eastern powers versus the Western powers, and the whole world is involved. Because if Britain, France and Spain, who I think are part of NATO, get involved, that's the whole of Africa involved, because they're allies. So if your ally goes to war, by war law, you are now involved in that law.
So it may not mean that they're physically at the battlefield, but on paper the world is at war.
By the time the country is going to declare that we are at war, the only way that it's going to start impacting our daily lives is if we're losing that war or if it escalates. That's the only reason that we can be like, okay, we're now losing the war. Because if it gets to the point of us going into bunkers, hiding or whatever, missiles, it means we've lost. It means we're losing. Because it means whoever we're fighting has gained enough ground to reach here. Otherwise, best case scenario, these wars will happen over there. And then we'll win, they will declare victory, and we'll move on. But we'll see how it goes. But that's what I'm not here to talk about war, right?
Yes, you are.
The point is good
for absolutely nothing. Sing it, war. Dun, 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 dun. What is it good? You don't know that song?
I know it, but you got that from war.
He does have a point.
The name
playing.
War.
So?
It's not the name war. It's war as in the sound. Whoa.
No, it's not. It's war.
No, it's. Is it?
Yeah, no. The song is War. What is it good? Why would...
No.
Whoa. Why would... Listen to the lyrics.
You're right.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
She may be right.
That was the sound.
Whoa, dude, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Makes so much sense.
The sentence starts in the middle. Like, what is? What are you talking about?
I just thought like it was a general. Like, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
I've just never thought about it.
I just thought it was like, she may be right. We'll have to Google it afterwards. But she may be right.
Whoa. Anyway, we are keeping our listeners waiting.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We'll confirm it off air. Anyway.
If I'm wrong, I can't not be wrong.
Anyway, I don't think you are. Anyway, I don't think you
okay.
Are.
So, England.
You guys.
England, Britain. Yeah, that was a sound. Whoa. Right. So, the UK, the Western world, whatever, we go to war. What I'm interested in discussing is, should that happen? So I'm going to break it down a little bit. So firstly, would there be an issue in Christians volunteering to join the army, the services, in order to fight for Britain? And we're talking in the context of what's happening right now in the world. So I don't want you to invent an imaginary conflict. I'm talking about the current conflicts we're dealing with.
Yes.
So you said, is that answer yes, there would be an issue?
Yes, there would
be an
issue.
Okay, that's fine. Start there.
Yeah. Gonna keep it nice and simple, to be fair with you. I think this is where we start understanding certain passages that say, like, you know, be in the world but not part of the world, right?
Okay.
The world is going to war. What's your part in that? You know, I don't think we have any part in that. Let's start with the conflict they're fighting for. Yeah, what business do we have in that conflict, for example? So taking the current situation, again, you might have to educate me on this, but Russia and Ukraine, what are they fighting for? Piece of land. Is it a piece of land?
Yeah, it's a
piece of land, you know. Again, not to go too wild, but when it comes to ownership of this earth, I believe as Christians, we don't really care about the present earth. Because the scriptures have told us that we shall blessed are the meek in heart, for they shall inherit the earth. So we are waiting for Christ to fix this earth, to destroy it, to be done away with it, and create it anew. And that is what we are going to inherit. So I don't believe that we have a place to be fighting for pieces of land right now on this planet. So I think this is one of the ones where Christians would have to sit, put their hands together, and watch the things unfold. After all, we are told that you shall hear about rumors, and there shall be wars and stuff.
Okay, so you're saying Christians should be fighting for peace of land on the earth. Okay, I'm gonna unpack that, because one of the biggest questions would be, but isn't that what most of the conflict in the Bible is about? Pieces of land.
Some of them were
God ordained. In fact, God encouraged.
100%.
He took a whole nation out to claim. Hang on, but that's not the main point I want to make. The main point I want to make is, so you're saying, okay, Christians should sit, watch, let it unfold. But then obviously, if we join the war, it's not because we're fighting for a piece of land. It's because, let's say, Russia takes over Ukraine and now they want to move to like Poland or something, who is an ally of the UK. And so we're going there because we're fighting against someone who is attacking our lands. Is that not a justifiable reason to go to war? You're not going to conquer, you're going to defend.
I don't know. No, it's not a justifiable reason. Because the thing is that our guide has to be Christ, basically. Our principle has to be Christ.
That's
but
Christ
God.
Doesn't say do not go to war.
Yeah.
No. What I'm trying to say is that we have to look at what our responsibility is and what our role is to play on this earth right now.
Okay, so let's let me throw something at you then. So Romans 13 tells us that we have to be subject to the authorities, because there's no authority on earth but God, and those that are in positions of authority have been appointed by God. Therefore, obey the laws of the land, pay your taxes, give respect who it's due, give honor to who is due. Would someone be far-fetched to say, well, fighting for my country is part of that? Because if we're at war and they're saying, okay guys, you know, we need men to go fight for this country, what principle as a Christian are you using to get yourself out of that?
Okay.
So it's a Kingsbury religion.
Yeah, that's fine if that's the case. But then I guess that's what I want to
know. No, that's what you're saying, and you leave it at that. No, that clause.
We dig deep enough POV. So your study is against my religion. Okay. Where are we getting that from? What part of the Bible are we using?
That's a very good way of putting it. And I'm going to give a very good answer to that.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes just give the answer.
Go on.
All right. So what I want to say is this. First and foremost, discernment is important. Mm-hmm. The verse stands, right? But if the government authorities on earth wanted us to do something that was against God, it's our responsibility to stand up against that 100%. And say no.
Yeah.
So you can't hang that up and say that, oh, I'm forced because I have to follow the government. No. There's discernment needed.
In this point.
Starting point. I'm coming to what you're saying. Starting point. Yeah. So if they made it compulsory, if they were forcing us to say that go to war, maybe my argument would be different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could be like, okay, fine. Well, technically, there isn't anything wrong. What I wouldn't do is apply things like don't take a life and so on and so forth, because war has always been part of mankind, you know, mm-hmm. and the New Testament doesn't say do not go to war, like you've said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do believe that it's a territory that perhaps we would need heavy spirit to help us to navigate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. However, if I'm talking about a Christian's responsibility to take up arms, mm-hmm. let me go and fight. I'm asking that Christian, you know, what is it that is making you feel like you need to go defend this piece of land? Because I'm not seeing that to be a responsibility of a Christian. I'm not seeing biblically anything calling for you to go defend that piece of land. This piece of land.
Defending lives is not a responsibility of a Christian.
No, it's really... It depends how you put it. I would say that's responsibility of Christ.
Because you've got to remember that...
I would say... we can touch into a lot of things, to be honest with you.
But then, if you say that's the responsibility of Christ, aren't we still commanded to look after the orphans and to look after the widows? Someone could easily argue that's the responsibility of Christ.
Yes. Someone can do that. I would respect that. However, what I'm trying to say is this, mm-hmm. right? Let me put it this way. Biblically, we understand that if somebody murders my family today, mm-hmm. vengeance is for God.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If someone does anything wrong to me whatsoever, mm-hmm. vengeance is for God. So I could take the same and say that if a certain country is coming to overrun my country, mm-hmm. vengeance is for God. God is going to deliver us.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is what I'm saying. So I've phrased it this way because I wanted to start it from the point that she's given, you know, because of what I do appreciate it's because of what I said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why I've put it this way. So that's why I'm saying that for me, to not make things complicated, what I would be looking at is the need for you to go there. And the reason I'm saying that is because if I'm in my house, mm-hmm. locked doors, someone breaks into my house, you know, I have my family there. Mm-hmm. It is my, I will defend myself.
Why?
I will protect myself. You know, because,
vengeance is the Lord. You sit there and you wait for God to smite them.
No. Yeah. I will protect myself on my knees.
What?
On my knees.
No. It's an important thing to address because, mm-hmm. I don't disagree with the scenario you've given, but based on everything you've just been saying,
I think I've just tripped myself up with
that.
Why am I so good
at
scenario?
That logic has
yes.
to apply.
Yes. It does apply. Thank you very much for that speech. It gave me time to think. Mm-hmm. So it does apply, yeah? Because that's my home, yeah? So that's what I'm asking you, that as a Christian, where is your home? What is your home? Because it's not this earth.
Wait, what?
Let me slow down.
I don't know who you think we are, but you can't trick us with political talk.
Hold on, let me slow it down.
No.
Go on.
Let's backtrack and let's clarify.
Yeah.
Your whole argument is you're saying the Bible says vengeance is for God.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, someone could use that principle, is that if a country mm-hmm. is coming to invade your country,
mm-hmm. leave vengeance is for to God.
Mm-hmm.
So then, using that logic, mm-hmm. if you're at home chilling, mind your own business, mm-hmm. someone comes into your home to attack you and your family.
No, and kills my family, it's going
to
change.
Is coming to attack you and your family because mm-hmm. the attack is happening. Mm-hmm. You're saying, leave it, vengeance is for God.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine.
That's
silly.
Can I clarify a little bit there?
Quickly, because I want to give us
yes.
an opportunity.
It's
to talk
yes,
as well.
But I want to clarify a little nitty gritties, right? Earth, this current earth, is not our final home,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's not a home that I would need to protect. because it's not, as a Christian, it's not my home. I have no ownership of the current earth as it is right now. So I will let the countries invade each other, fight. Let the dogs fight over spilt, whatever, rubble, whatever. Yeah. Let them grumble. Let them do whatever they want to do. It's got nothing to do with me, because this is not the home that God is going to give me. This is not my inheritance. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for God to give me land.
Can we really say it's got nothing to do with me? The verse clearly says, "Be in the world, but not of the world."
I'm gonna wait for you, Roberto.
It's like we're ignoring the "be in the world," because yes, that verse is saying, "Don't live the way of unbelievers," because that's the point of the verse. But it's not disregarding the fact that we physically live on the earth.
We are talking about if war broke out, yeah? Do I need to feel the need to protect the land? I'm British. This land is ours. It was given to me. I'm going to go fight for it. Mm. That's what we're talking about. So my answer is no. We can go into other stuff you've spoken about. Fine. But if that's what we're discussing, my answer is no. Everything I'm talking about is based on that.
All right. Fine. So, Fasani, let me come to you real quick. So war breaks out. As a Christian, let's say someone feels compelled to go and join the conflict to do their part. As a Christian, would you say that would be an okay thing to do? Would it be encouraged? Would it be less than ideal? Et cetera, et cetera.
I don't know if it would be encouraged, but I wouldn't see a problem if a Christian went to fight the war, fight the good cause, whatever you want to call it. I think a question I had for Pronuk when he was talking was, so currently in the army, there's probably a lot of Christians. So would you say those Christians need to come out of the army? Because as soon as war breaks out, they have to go. So should Christians not be joining the army?
No.
They shouldn't be.
That's not the argument I'm trying to make. Because remember, I'm not talking about Christians can't be soldiers. That's not my argument.
But the whole point of an army and the whole point of soldiers, yes, they do other things, but ultimately the whole purpose is to defend the country, to defend the land. Should anything happen, it's not laymen that are going to war first. Mm. It's soldiers. When those soldiers start dwindling, then they'll start calling upon the thing. So the point of a soldier, soldiers are first and foremost trained to fight.
Yes,
that's their soldiers. that's their first priority. Yes. Defend the country, defend the honor of the country. So are we in a yes or no answer? No, I'm kidding. Should Christians not be joining the army, whether it be the Marines, whether it be apparently only know the Marines?
Okay, so I'm gonna repeat myself slightly in the sense that the answer I'm asking, the question I'm answering, is on a general, as he's asked. If war was to break out, what is the responsibility of Christians, right? Mm-hmm. I'm understanding that to be the layman Christians, as Christians, people in the world.
Her question is a fair question. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so let me get.
What's the difference between a Christian that's in the army and you?
Because your occupation in the army is exactly what you said. So going to war. I've got no issues with that. I've got no qualms with that.
So if it's your
It's not about your beliefs. It's not about you feeling as a Christian it's my responsibility to go to war. It's you doing your job as a soldier.
Okay, so as long as your occupation is soldier and you're a Christian, that's absolutely fine. Go to as many wars as you want to fight for the
as
land.
A Christian, you can be a doctor, you can be a driver, you can be a nurse, you can be a healthcare assistant, be a soldier. Yes.
I'm not trying to catch you out, I'm just situating the question in the context of the conversation. So you're saying, I'm asking the question plainly, it doesn't need defensiveness. As though if you're a Christian that's already in the army and war breaks out and you go to war, that's fine because that's your occupation.
Absolutely fine.
But if you're a layman Christian that's not in the army, then that's a different scenario altogether. So there's two criteria for Christians.
Now let me explain my yes.
I don't think you need to add anything at the moment because I think you've made your position clear. But then remember, I was saying I disagree with most of what you're saying.
I'm interested to know what it is that you think. Don't just say that you disagree. Offer a counter.
Let me ask you a question. Is it the responsibility of Christians to address injustices in the world?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. Because
that's why he asked it.
Because we've been talking about this. You know, if it's your calling to address a certain thing, then yes.
Okay, I'm talking about injustices.
Yes. If it's your calling to address certain things, yes.
Okay, so you're walking on the street and you see a man beating another man. Are you saying Are you asking God if it's your calling to stop this man being beaten up?
No, you're gonna hopefully interfere and stop a certain person beating up.
So that's my point. If we're talking about injustice,
injustice, okay, literal word.
Hang on. Mm-hmm. And I'm building here, so follow me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's start from what you're saying. So what injustice do you need to be called to address as an everyday Christian? Because we're talking about everyday Christians. Yeah. Mm. What injustice do we need to be called specifically to
address? There are a lot of injustices around the world. There's racial injustices. There's, you know, work injustices, that people that are being discriminated left, right, and center. There's a lot of things going on this earth that not a single person can tackle them all. I do believe that God does raise certain people and put them in certain situations to fight certain things.
Yeah.
So that's why I answered that in that way.
But okay, we've always agreed on that. I think his question is more localized.
I've answered the question the best as I could. That's fine. So it's the responsibility of Christians to address injustices in the world, right?
Yes.
Now, during war, is there injustice being committed?
I think that would depend on why they're having wars. You know, like, okay, on a general point of view,
so children being killed, that's not injustice. Women being killed, that's not injustice. Schools being bombed, hospitals being bombed, people being displaced. It can get really gruesome. People are being famine, raped, beheaded, famine. All those are not injustices. And let's not be quiet about the situation. This is what war causes, right? All these things.
Why are you moving closer to me? You're by yourself there.
All these things will happen during war, does happen during war, has happened during war, is happening during war, actually, even in Gaza right now. So my question is, I agree with you about, I don't know about being called, but me, I always say, you deal with the injustices that come to your door, right? Hang on. Mm-hmm. So someone could argue, oh, Chin, if you're saying that, why are you not in Gaza fighting right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not at my door. But then when it comes to my door, does it not then become my responsibility to deal with it?
So here's the thing. And I like how you've taken that. Okay. I would say that what you've just explained there, that will happen on both sides.
Go on.
That what you just explained about children being killed, families being displaced, that's happening on both sides.
100%.
Yeah. 100%, so how do you pick a side? What, as a Christian, what side are you fighting for?
Isn't that what you just said? What's at your door? The land I live
in. So you are concerned about the families that are dying in your land, but you don't care about the families that are dying in the other land.
You do care, but sometimes you don't have the resources to do anything about it.
Hang on.
You can't.
Yes, hang on. There is a point that I guess we'll touch on this a little bit, but to answer your question plainly, yes.
Okay.
Because hang on. Before you come in, when God said, go and conquer the Canaanites and kill everyone and take the women for slaves or whatever, people do use this. They say, oh, look at this. Your God is encouraging genocide or whatever. But the point is, everyone will always have a side. And if I'm... Okay, so I'll give you an example.
I am bubbling because I love this discussion right now. Go on.
The home example.
We can see because your smile is eating.
The home example you gave. I'm here minding my own business, chilling. Someone invades my home. Yeah. I beat them half to death, put them in a coma, right? Have I not caused bodily harm on that person?
You have, yes.
Have I not assaulted
them? That's somebody's son.
You have, yes.
That's somebody's son. That's someone's husband, brother, or whatnot. But is my act unjustified? Have I done something wrong?
Yes, you haven't. So you protected point is, your own.
You can always flip something around. That's fine. But by all means, let's flip it if it's going to change the conversation. But my point is, from our point where we're standing, our quote-unquote land, home, way of life, whatnot, is that not something that we should be fighting for?
Here's what I want to respond. Here's my response to that. Here's the thing. If we go to the olden days, it's very clear. Yeah? God had a nation, physical nation on this planet, and he gave them a physical land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was that physical land they had to defend. It's got a name, it had a name, it had a location.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We are no longer there right now. Yeah. Times have changed. Okay. Now God's people don't have that land. You know, God's people are everywhere. Yeah. Our location is the kingdom of God. Our allotment is the kingdom to come.
Okay.
So here's what I would say. If we're talking about, do Christians have a role to play when war breaks out?
Mm-hmm.
I would say yes, they do. And the role they play is exactly what you've just said. You will look after the injured, the whatever on both sides. Yeah. I'm challenging you. I'm saying that our place is above the conflict of the world. Our place, if we are going to fight injustice, if we are going to act as God's agents, our place is to heal, to protect on both sides. Our place is not to take a side. God hasn't told you fight for England. He told them protect and fight for Canaan, for Israel. Okay, fine, go on.
I'll get your point. God hasn't told us
to fight came to preach today.
Let me ask you a question.
Go on.
When Israel attacked the Canaanites, were the Canaanites wrong in defending their land?
No, they were not wrong in defending their land.
Did God tell them to defend their land?
No, they didn't. But they were not God's children. Everybody that was not an Israelite.
No, hang on. Mm-hmm. Do you even know what question you're answering? So I'm asking you, were the Canaanites wrong in defending their land?
No, they were not wrong.
And your question is because they were not God's
people? No. I've answered.
I mean, your answer is because they were not God's people.
No, you asked me a follow-up question to that.
Yeah.
So let's replay the drama again.
Okay.
You've asked me the first question and I've said, no, they were not.
Okay, so why were they not wrong in doing so?
Because it was their land and they're protecting it.
But God didn't tell them to defend
it. He didn't have to. They are not his children.
Okay, so that's my whole point. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about people in a land that they call home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And that land being invaded, being in essence, that way of life being conquered, and them defending that way of life.
But these are not just people. These are believers.
Hang on.
Go on.
Okay, we're not talking about the Bible. We're talking about nowadays.
We're talking about Christians.
We're talking about Christians nowadays. Yes. Yeah.
So this is not just people. They're Christians. Go on.
My point is simply this. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people in a land that they call home.
Mm-hmm.
And their way of life is being invaded, being conquered.
Mm-hmm.
And them taking up arms in order to defend their land.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If the Canaanites do it, if the Philistines do it, if the Palestinians do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying it's wrong if the British do it. Because they...
No.
The British can do it. That believe in Jesus. It's wrong if they do it.
Christians.
That's what he just said.
Yes.
We're not playing a game of semantics here. We're communicating. So as long as we're understanding each other, we don't have to worry about semantics.
It matters because the conversation is the role of Christians in the place.
But he literally said the British that believe in Jesus.
I respect the fact that he said that, but I wanted the word Christians on record.
Let's backtrack a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your whole point was laying on the fact that
this isn't our land.
The earth is not our home. Mm-hmm. We have no business defending England, for example, or Britain or whatever, because it is not our land, our home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then can someone not say then, well, that's a bit unfair because you're living in this land, you're enjoying the freedoms of this land, you're enjoying the opportunities, everything that it gives you, you're enjoying and you're benefiting from. But then when it comes time to defend it, you're saying, no, this is not,
it's not my job.
Then is that not being a bit hypocritical and double standard?
No. I wouldn't say it's being hypocritical.
Hypocritical
or having double standard. I would say that unfortunately that's what it means to be, you know, someone that casts their mind on things of heaven and not on things of earth.
So if somebody was to say Christians are leeches, what would your answer be?
I would say fine. In your opinion, if that makes me a leech, it's fine. I don't have to defend everything. I don't have to defend every stigma that you throw at me. If that's how it comes across to you, fine. You know, we are paying our taxes. We are living as we should. You know, we are not causing any harm to anybody. We are not stabbing anyone, killing anybody. All we are saying is that, listen, this land, this earth, if you're going to fight over it, if you're going to scrub over it, go ahead. It's yours. We are waiting for what God is going to give us. In essence, I would say we should take
let me ask a stupid but serious question.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a piece of land being advertised and you want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, no, you can't buy it. You're a Christian. And therefore this land, you can't own land on this earth because your land is in the kingdom to come. What's your argument?
Fair enough. And I'm not going to lie to you. You were right. It seems a silly but serious question. And I accept that question. You know, fair enough. Because let's be honest.
So you're saying in this lifetime you never buy a house because you also buy the land.
I'm saying that if I wanted to buy a land and I was faced with that, I would say fair enough. I am hopefully going to buy land. I am hopefully going to own properties. Fine. Hold on, let me just finish this point. But let's not forget, the understanding is that none of these things are going to inherit the kingdom of God. If an earthquake happens today, destroys everything that I own, I'm not going to depression anyway. Because when I die or when God comes and we're being changed, nothing of this earth is going. So if that person met me with that, would I be upset at the time? Would I maybe fight legally, you know, and so on and so forth? Maybe I could do that. But when it's all said and done, would I really cry about it? No. Because technically, they're right. You know, if I actually live and preach that mentality, you know, things of heaven, not things of earth. We Christians have nothing to do with this earth. We are going to take nothing of this earth to us to heaven.
We're never not going to take anything of this earth to us to heaven. That's true. But we live in this earth. That,
we do. And as Christians on this earth, we do... Yeah,
for me, if war was to come, I do think Christians have a part to play in the war. I can't confidently say that the part they have to play is to go and fight. I don't have any biblical scriptures to back me up, or I don't have any biblical scriptures to say otherwise. So in the absence of that, I would say it would be people's convictions and their relationship with God and what they feel like God is speaking to them. But do we have parts to play in war? Yes, definitely, because out of war comes calamity, out of war comes injustice. So our part to play as Christians is to try our best to support those injustices. I'm not saying, you know, the brave might get up and say, yes, I'm going straight to the front line and I'm going to be rescuing those kids, and that might be that person, like we're always saying, that might be that person's calling, that might feel what they're convicted to do. There might just be a person that says, you know what, I'm going to start a charity just providing clothes to those people that have no clothes, their houses are being, I might just provide shelter. I think there is a role for Christians to play. And even in the army, not every soldier is a fighter. They all have different parts to play. One scenario that keeps coming to mind is, I don't know if you guys know Mary Seacole.
Mary Seacole, nurse.
Yeah, so she was at war, but I don't think she ever picked up a gun to fight. Her, she said, I'm going to go there, but I'm going to do what I know best, nursing. I'm going to nurse the soldiers. I'm going to fix their wounds because that's what I can contribute to the scenario. And I don't think it's about contributing to say, yes, we're contributing to gain our land back. Sometimes it's just contributing in that war to make somebody else's life a little bit better, contributing in that war to offer somebody a bit of hope, to offer somebody a bit of peace. So I'm not gonna, even when this question was sent out, I voiced that it was a question that I found really, really difficult to answer, because I didn't know where to situate myself. But yes, I think if war comes, there is a part for Christians, because we are, if you're alive and you're in this world, that is going to impact you in one way or another. And we're all going to have to react to it in one way or another. I don't think if war comes, you can just close your blinds, sit in your house and say, well, I'm a Christian. This is it. I'm just going to stay indoors. No, you're going to be impacted one way or another, and you're going to have to react to that impact one way or another. So yes, as Christians, there is a part for us to play, whether we like it or not.
I want to ask two questions. And these are questions just so that, I guess, the verses that need to be thought about are thought about. Or, you know, this, it's not about changing people's minds or whatever. This is why I thought it was a very interesting question, because I think arguments can be made for both sides. I think, obviously, I have my convictions, but I can definitely see the arguments from the other side as well, and where they would come from. I don't know if I'd agree with any of them, but I can definitely see them. So the first question is the verse that says there's a time for peace and time for war. Would we say that's an outdated verse because we no longer now have Israel? Or rather, does it only apply to Israel? Because another interesting avenue could have gone down, this is just FYI, because I don't think we can go down there, we haven't got enough time, is whether, I guess, the only war that's justifiable is the Israel versus any other nation war. Because Israel claims to be the nation of God. Does, if we're using from the argument you made about how God had a nation then, he hasn't got it now, are we to say only Israel can get into wars in other countries and be a justifiable war, quote unquote? Or again, it's just a rhetorical question. We haven't got time to go down it. But I guess those are questions to wrestle with. But the point I was making, what was I saying before?
Is that Israel? Our dated verse.
Yes. So would you say the Bible that says that there's a time for
Where is that verse?
Ecclesiastes.
Come on now, you know this, because you have one cousin. That's the only verse they know.
Exactly.
But if we're saying it's an outdated verse, then we're saying we have to be able to accept that, then a lot of scripture and a lot of verses is outdated.
We have to say
that that whole passage is outdated, because that verse is part of a whole script, a whole passage and a whole message that's being conveyed. Mm. So there's a time for mourning and a time for happiness. We have to say that's outdated. Mm. So I don't think it's an outdated verse, because if that verse says there's a time for peace and a time for war, and then we move on to the New Testament and says there'll be wars and rumors of wars, those two things for me marry. Mm. Because that verse is alluding to what is being said further on. There will be times of unrest. We're told in multiple places there will be time of unrest. So no, I don't think it's an outdated verse. And we always say the Bible speaks to us. So that verse is speaking to us, telling us that yes, there's peace now, but there might be a time where there isn't any peace.
Mm. Mm. For me, it's not, I wouldn't use the term outdated, but the term I would use is that application might need to be taken, is what I would say. Just like many things in the Old Testament no longer apply in the New Testament, but application still applies. So that's the route I would go down. And the second thing I would say is that it says there's a time of peace and a time for war. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily use that verse to say that it's telling me as a Christian that, you know, pick up your rifle and go fight, your time for war has come. I could say that it is just saying in general, which has always been the case, mm-hmm. that there will be times of peace and there will be times of war.
Okay.
You know, and the prophecies do say that, you know, wars are going to, there'll be rumors of wars like we keep saying. So that without going too deep into it, that's the route I would go down.
Can I backtrack a little bit? Something's bugging me. Something's been playing on my mind. Mm. And it's really, really backtracking, so I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but Pronick made a point. Well, remember when I asked the question about soldiers in the army, and Pronick said, because it's their career, that's fine.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So let me caveat that with this then.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know as Christians, you shouldn't be sleeping around because that's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
So again, stupid but profound.
Mm-hmm.
I'll claim that myself.
Be the judge of that?
Go on. Mm-hmm.
So I now go and get a job in a brothel, and that's my job title.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm sleeping around because that's my job.
Mm.
Is that now okay?
Okay?
Because it's my job.
So I'm going to answer it like this, and I'm going to try to be as concise and clear as possible. The argument I'm making are the intentions within a person as to why they are doing what they are doing. So my problem with Christians picking up rifle is if they are doing it in the name of defending the land.
As opposed to a soldier who does it in the name of what? Getting a paycheck. So it's better to fight and kill for a paycheck than it is to defend the lives of millions.
I'm saying I don't know about that soldier. So yes, for now I'll say yes. That
okay.
Yeah,
no, I mean, no, but, I would
then, but then answer, but then, but then
me,
answer my scenario, because what would the, but what we're saying then is, as long as something is your occupation, it's fine to go do that thing.
Now, so the next thing I'll say to that is,
because
that,
if we're saying it's not okay for Christians to go to war full stop, but it's okay because it's your occupation.
You're omitting a very important point, and okay, that's why I wanted to be
I'm not omitting a point. That's what I've understood. So tell me your point. I'm not purposely omitting a point.
You are not purposely omitting a point, so I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
My key thing is the intentions. So let me put it this way. Let me say it in an unfair way.
Okay.
I have said unfair. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. You try that.
All things are permissible before God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But not all things are beneficial. Right. You can do anything as a Christian.
Not true. But
yeah. That's why I said it was an unfair example. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I'm saying, if the connection is going to be there, that what I'm looking at in this scenario, in this example of Christians picking up arms. Now, mm-hmm. I've said picking up arms because these are not already soldiers. So I've already put two categories there. So the Christians that are having to pick up arms, I'm saying, why are we doing that? Yeah. I don't think we have part to be fighting for this land. Right. Now, before the war broke off, Joseph decided I want to be a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For whatever reason. I don't know. Paycheck. Papers, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe born British, he felt very
compelled
because this is my land, I want to be a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, when you turn believer, you have to remember there is no that thing anyway. You see, because we are being redeemed from this earth. So whether we talk about
spiritually, not physically,
whether we talk about culture or whatever, that's why there's no culture in faith, culture where you come from, whatever. That's why we cannot be one in faith, because what it is that God is bringing us into is pure, detached from anything on this earth. So Joseph. You know,
and his more technocolored code, because it sounds like that's where we're going.
No, Joseph, you know, in the army already as a soldier, as an occupation, mm-hmm. I'm saying that, well, I'm willing to have a conversation about that. Yeah, I'm not too sure. I would have to backtrack to the example you've given. If I can conclude that we shouldn't be in the army altogether, then my answer would be, yeah, he shouldn't have been there.
Well, that's important. So let's hang there a little bit then. So, and have we not discussed this question before? Or was it off air?
No,
the Christians being soldiers?
No, I don't. Was
that's
church.
Never been on air.
No, that was it. Okay. No, that was at a church.
Okay, fine. So
it was a youth Bible study.
Right, okay.
Remember the guy that asked, what about Christians who are in the army that go to war and then kill? Are they murderers?
Okay, all right. That's fine. So then real quick then, because I'm guessing that's probably a conversation on its own, but real quick then, should Christians be soldiers, Pronik?
Why is that with me? Give me time to think.
Because you're the one who's making this point, and and the way she asked it may have come like a bit, huh? Mm. But I think it's a very important point, because she's looking at the end result. The end result is fighting for your country or fighting on the behalf of your country, right? Whether your intent is money, paycheck, whatever, the end result is you're fighting on the behalf of your country. That's what soldiers do day in, day out. If global war broke out, that's what the ordinary man would be called to do, to fight on the behalf of the country. So in essence, they're becoming soldiers. That's all that is. So then I guess your point goes a bit further back to say, okay, should Christians be soldiers? Because if your answer is, oh yeah, Christians can be soldiers, that's fine, then it's important, because then war, then why does it change when it's a global scale and now I need to go to war because I am becoming a soldier? So I think it's an important point. And it's okay if you say, you know what, I hadn't thought of that, we'll come back to it, that's fine. But I think that's a very important point Fatani brought there. So it's a good thing it was nagging at you.
I hadn't thought of it, but thank you for your monologue, because that gave me time to think about it a bit more. Then I would have to say no. Christians shouldn't be soldiers.
Okay.
That would be my answer.
Right, okay. I definitely disagree with that as well.
Okay, so can I just pause you for a second? Because it's really frustrating for you to keep saying I disagree the whole episode, but you're not telling me what you think. So I really need you to offer an argument here.
I'm telling you I disagree because, A, okay, have you heard of the thing called just war theory? I'm going to summarize it if you guys haven't heard it. It's fine. Have the
summarize
points.
It, please.
So, and this is the point I've always made about Christians being soldiers, and even if war broke out, men joining the army and fighting, because there is such a thing as a just war, right? And that is justified killing thing because of the honorable reasons, right? And for me, defending one's country, defending one's way of life, one's freedom is definitely a justified war situation, because I'm not going to war to gain more power or wealth or control. I'm not invading a country just because it's weaker than mine. I am defending the freedoms of the country that I live and enjoy in. And this is the thing that always bothers me as well about, and I will offer more arguments and just sidestep a little bit. That bothers me about a lot of black people who are like, oh, if war broke out, I'm not fighting for Britain. No way am I going to war for Britain. I'm like, well, then leave. Like, most of you are in your 20s, 30s, 40s, leave. There's nothing forcing you to be here. If you really despise the country that much, go somewhere else. But they won't. Why? Because they love their freedom, the opportunities, all the benefits that they get from their quote-unquote colonizers, and I say quote-unquote, please, they are colonizers, right? It's in their history. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying they are colonizers when they want them to be colonizers, but then all of a sudden, it's the land of milk and honey when it benefits you. And for me, it really annoys me, because it's like, well, choose. There are people on the internet that have left. There's a guy I follow, he left the United States and went to Bali because he didn't like the way the government was running. He didn't like the country. He was like, this, I shouldn't be here. And he left. Follow him. Sidetrack.
Follow him, you know.
Sidetrack. track. But my point is,
we're gonna get a comment in the things. I moved to Bali. I followed you.
So my overall arcing point is, and we can go to look at the verses that I would cling on. Mm. But my overall arcing point is fighting to defend your land, whatever land you live in, because it's been invaded. For me, that's a justified war.
Okay.
And I don't care if you're living in Ethiopia and it's been invaded by Egypt, or if it's Egypt being invaded by America. If you call a land a home, and you know, obviously you call it a home because you like something about it, or something is working, then I think you have the right to defend it.
Okay.
Now, there's one passage. Do you guys know a passage in... It's obscure.
Obscure.
Yo. You sound worse than me. At least I can't pronounce words.
I said it confidently.
No. I say everything confidently.
Someone could have believed that was the right word if she hadn't said anything. I'm like, oh, that's a new word Chincha said. I've never heard that before.
I had to think about the way you said
it. I thought you just paused in between the word. That's all. As for you.
No, okay. Let me read some comments.
It was interesting what
a few people had to say about the topic. So I want to see what you think, right? Mm-hmm. So the first one, I think it's more towards Fatsani's line of thinking. Perhaps we'll see. He says, I have decided that I would help in any way and everywhere possible to save people. Mm-hmm. But we'll make it known right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I will not shoot someone or take their life.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be fine with any number of civilian tasks like evacuating civilians, sandbagging, assisting medics.
Mm-hmm.
So long as I'm able to help, then I see just another opportunity to make the choice to side with God or to rebel against him. I'm not sure about that last bit. But basically he will get involved, do everything he can aside from shooting people or taking someone's life, basically. Mm-hmm. I guess that would echo a lot with what you're saying, no?
Mm-hmm. But I'm also fine with people.
No, I know. I'm just saying that. But that's your initial position to say... Yeah. I guess the more relief efforts, you know, the helping, healing to the wounded and everything else. There's one says, I don't know about anyone else, but if I had to defend my country by going to the front lines and battling it out, involving shooting people, then I would. I would have an issue with my country. I would have an issue if my country was the one invading for no good reason. But if I'm defending my country and people, then I have no issue having to shoot people in defense.
Mm.
It's not like I want to kill them. It isn't murder.
In all fairness, murder goes out of the window if you're in a war.
No, of course not.
I'm just supporting what he's saying. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not murder.
Well,
this is the thing, because it goes out of the window.
You can't get murder in war. And this is the thing. I didn't read the just war theory to you guys. Okay, I'll come on to it after. But no, that's the thing. Have you heard of like war crimes?
Yes, I have. And that used to baffle me. Yeah. I understand it now. I guess it's because there's like a set of rules of engagement even within wars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you act on those rules, you've committed murder.
You're in your tanker, whatever, going to the front line. You drive past a family just minding their own business and you say, oh, you know, Iranians, pa, 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 pa. That's not part of the war process. They're minding their own good business.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Again, let me be unfair here a little bit. Going to the Bible, kill everybody, young, old, women, don't spare anybody. One can say that, you know,
let me use your own words against you, but that's God's command.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm trying to say is that if we're talking about war, yeah, I don't understand now putting rules in war. I get it, and that's how you can get war crimes and so on and so forth. But if war has always existed,
God always put rules in wars. Because even if you go back to the Bible and read all the different wars, it wasn't the same command for every country they invaded. Okay,
those were not rules for wars. Those were instruction to his children for specific reasons.
Yeah, but those were his rules to his children, wasn't it?
Yeah, but not rules. Yeah, rules to his children, but not war rules. What we have right now, we have agreed set of rules in all the world somehow. Even right now with Putin, I think he got accused.
I think they're just moral. I don't know if...
But again, it doesn't...
Doesn't that come down
to the verse that Chin was saying about, you know, there will be people placed by God who will put their own rules, but God is going to allow them to put those there. So yes, you can say...
That's a fair point.
The same way you abide by the laws of this land now as a free person, as a civilian, there are rules for war as well. So why would you not abide by those just because they haven't been quote unquote set up by God.
Are you saying there shouldn't be rules of war?
That was genuinely your statement.
Okay, that's fine. So just so I understand, so we can move. Are you saying there shouldn't be rules of war?
I was saying that I don't understand this whole rules of war thing, because war, you know, from where it used to come from, you are out there to conquer and destroy, and there was literally wiping out everything, and that's why I bring in the whole God thing, that in some situations he would tell them that don't spare anybody, whether it's a young child or whatever. Yes,
yeah? Ask a question. Are you saying there shouldn't be rules of war?
I don't want to get involved in a war conversation. I'm just saying it baffles me.
The whole topic is about war. I don't want to get involved in a war conversation.
I don't want to comment on whether there should be rules or not. I don't want to do that. All I'm saying is that it baffles me when war is about conquering the other nation. It baffles me why you're going to put rules now of how you can't kill
this
way.
But war isn't just about conquering another nation. That's what Chin is saying, that sometime, like the guy that just, the last comment that he read out, because the guy is saying, I'm happy to go to war to defend my country. So when you're defending a country, you're not conquering another country. You just want to keep your own. And then there's sometimes where a country will go invade. So in war, there's always two sides, isn't there? So you're either going to invade, you're going to conquer, defending.
For 1 minute, let's talk about the invading one. So if I'm a nation, I want to go invade another nation. Mm-hmm. How do I go about it?
You defeat their military.
If I want to wipe that country off and then use their land?
Then that's fine. That's called genocide, and people can do that. But then this is what I'm saying, that the vast majority of the world will look at you and say, that was an evil man. Like, they're not gonna say, oh, you're so great, like Alexander the Great. They'll be like, yo, he had Hitler vibes. Because and this is what I'm saying, that And I think, Fatani, you're on fire. You're making very interesting points. Because I think she made a very interesting point.
Everything that she says is interesting to you. Because everything that I say doesn't make sense. It's okay. I understand. I'm joking. Go on.
Because the rules of war used to baffle me as well. Because I was of that mentality. If I'm going to war, I'm going to war to win. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm going to win by all means necessary.
Right? Yes.
So I was of that mentality. But then I understood it. I don't know how, but somewhere it clicked. And I think what Fatani is saying, could it not be that, because obviously God appoints all the rulers in the world, you know, he has put it in their hearts to actually put in place rules of war, to say that actually, okay, God is not anti-war, but there's still ways of doing it justly. I'm just saying I'm not against it, but I am saying that
it baffles me, to be fair. That's what I'm saying. It baffles me about how you're gonna essentially you're saying that if you're gonna kill people, let's kill them this way.
I think the rules of engagement are also about the bigger picture, because if let's say you're a Christian at war, and the aim you're convicted in your heart that we're going to defend our land, killing Mary and Tweedledum and Tweedledee here that you come across is not going to add anything to your goal, is it?
Yeah, fair.
So there's also that aspect.
Yeah. Okay. So next one. The next comment, I found this interesting. So this is from a Christian who's also an Iraq veteran, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, follow, war is fine, go to war, follow the laws of the land as long as they don't tell you to do something against God. Mm. You have to remember that the Old Testament was full of war, and David himself was also a warrior, a man in which God said he was after his own heart.
Mm.
As a Christian, you have to stand up against injustices. And if World War III was to happen, in most certain, there will be injustices that you can fight against. What I'm saying is, don't think of the army as a sinful thing. It's a necessary thing. David wasn't even a soldier. He was just a small shepherd boy who hated some dude talking bad about God and his nation. So he popped him with a stone and won the whole battle because of it. That was awesome stuff.
Be honest, popped you wrote that point in the comment.
No, I didn't. I think it was a very well-written comment.
Popped him with a stone.
I think it was a very well-written comment. Okay, so before I move on then, I just want to go back to the just war theory, right? So this is a theory, I don't know who developed it initially, but it's been around for a long time, right? So a war must meet these conditions in order for it to be considered a just war, right? So, number one, the war must have a just cause. Example, against invasion or for self-defense and not to acquire wealth or power. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Two, the war must be declared and controlled by a proper authority. Example, the state or ruler.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess that's to go against... I don't know, you know, like offshoot branches declaring war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know, UKIP is not there. UKIP is not there. What are the ones that say, like, Britain first? There's some that have...
What about the ones that are the equal warriors? What are they called?
The Green Party?
The ones that are gluing themselves. You were their advocates at one point. The ones gluing themselves to
just
the floor.
Oil.
Just stop oil. How is that an advocate for Just Stop Oil?
Advocate as in you loved them for a while and you
loved them.
Yeah, you were hooked by what they were doing.
No, I was not hooked, but I was having
it was defending
a discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
About what it means to riot. No, not riot, sorry.
To stand for
protest,
your cause.
Protest.
And make people hear your point.
Yes.
All right, third point. The war must be fought to promote good or avoid evil with the aim of restoring peace and justice after the war is over.
Mm.
Right? The war must be a last resort when all peaceful solutions have been tried and failed.
Mm.
Example, negotiations, political agreements, etc., etc. The war should be fought with proportionality, with just enough force to achieve victory and only against legitimate targets.
Mm.
So civilians should be protected at all costs.
Mm.
The good which is achieved by the war must be greater than the evil which led to the war.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And those are the proponents of a just war.
Components. Okay.
What did I say?
Proponents.
Not proponents. No.
Proponents is a word.
Don't auto-correct me, okay?
what wars have happened recently, would you say have been just?
I don't know enough about wars to answer that question. Okay, fine. I'll be honest with you.
Let me stick to Ukraine and Russia then, for example. Is that a just war based on what you say?
Ukraine and Russia?
Yeah.
Again, I don't know enough about that to comment. But what I would say is that if the conflict that's happening over there was to escalate in the way that now this homeland that I live in... Is at risk of being... taken over by the other powers, then yes, yeah, because now I'm defending my country.
So would you say Ukraine is, from what I've understood of the situation, would you say Ukraine is fighting a just war?
Ukraine is defending against Russia's invasion.
So they're fighting a just war.
I mean, again, I don't know enough, but from the surface, I would say yes, because Ukraine didn't attack Russia. Ukraine are fighting back Russia. Russia is trying to advance. Ukraine are trying to push them.
So what about of Russia then? What are we saying about them?
On the surface, again, with my disclaimer standing, I would say in terms of Russia's point, then I guess you'd question their justness on that because they are advancing, taking over someone else's land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the argument is that it used to belong to them, the Soviet Union. But then, I mean, again, it's a different discussion, but how far back do you go to claim something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, times move, people's homes become other people's homes. So, again, I'm not well-versed in war theory, but if we're looking at just this components of just war theory, if you're defending your country, you're justified in doing so. If you're invading a country in order to gain power and wealth, then you're unjust in doing so. If you're invading a country in order to stop an evil, then one could argue that could be justified.
One last unfair question, going back again, biblical time. So the first time that the Israelites attacked Canaan, when it was time for them to inherit it, the Canaanites definitely were fighting a just war because they were defending their land. Mm-hmm. The Israelites, what were they?
If you are looking on a human point, you can say the Israelites were fighting an unjust war.
Mm.
But, and this is the thing about when it comes to God's things, God is almighty. I can't question God. Mm. So if God says, go and take over that land, I just have to be like, okay, well, God said that. If you ask me, do I think it's right or wrong? That's a moot question. I can't question God's judgment.
So it is possible.
But if you're asking from human standards, then I'll say, yeah, if you're looking at it from a human, take God out of it, you will see injustice, which is why a lot of atheists do. Mm. They argue against the Bible because of those kind of things, but they negate the almightiness of God.
So it is possible for us as humans to sit there and judge something one way and take actions when, in actual fact, from God's point of view, it may not be what we've concluded it to be.
But then with
us acting in a certain way that we shouldn't act, but because we are going based on what we think and see, putting God out of it, doing something that we shouldn't be doing technically.
But that's the point we always go to, that we don't know God's mind and we don't know.
And that's why I've asked the questions
so
like that.
The answer to that can be yes and no, depending on which way you look at it. But because we don't know God's mind, unfortunately, like we always say, all you can do is discern and hope and pray that your
based on the biblical principles.
Correct.
And if there were any principles in the Bible that alluded to the fact that Christians should be pacifists, then yeah, I'll take that position, regardless of whatever conflict is going on. So if it's right at your door, you are to refrain and be pacifist. But
I think the next step for me would be a deep dive into the scriptures and what they say about what we should do in terms of war. I think for me that would be the next thing to do right now in getting a conclusion to this discussion.
So then we're going to have to bring it to an end. So all things being said, a lot has been said, but from what I'm understanding, Pronik is saying, we as Christians, we have been set apart from the world. We've been redeemed from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And therefore, we shouldn't get involved in the political wars and events that are happening in the world. Thus, should World War III break out and the conflict does escalate in that UK needs ordinary men and women to draft and go to war, Pronik is saying, as a Christian, it really shouldn't be your place to do, though, because it doesn't concern you. You can get involved if you want in relief efforts, helping the wounded, the needy, or whatever from both sides. If that's what's needed, you can do so. But in terms of picking up arms and going to war and fighting for whatever country you're defending, he's saying, don't really see the need for that.
Can I just say
Fatani, have I been unfair to your point?
No, that's what I wanted to say. I just wanted to thank you, because for the first time ever since we started,
I'm always fair to conclusions.
This is the best conclusion.
I'm always fair to conclusions.
These are my feelings. I feel like this is the best.
Fatani, on the other hand, is starting a little bit further on the journey to say, no, as a Christian, there is definitely going to be a role for you to play regardless. There is no place for even considering stepping back. In the first instance, you help the poor, you help the needy, you address any injustices that will come as a result of war. That's just a fact of life. Where there is war, there's going to be injustices. Fasani is saying, we as Christians, we have to address those. And if in doing so, somebody's role is to pick up a rifle, pick up a gun and go to the front lines, then by all means, you do that as well. I would wholeheartedly be on Fatani's camp in terms of everything she said, really. Definitely there will always be a role to play, and definitely if that involves going to the front lines, then why not? But having said that, this is not to justify war. Obviously, I said there is just war, there's a righteous war, I agree with that, but that's not to say war is good. War is never good. War is never the first choice. It's never ideal, right? People die, you know,
people are displaced,
you know, it's a terrible thing. And obviously, God does say in Isaiah that he will come, he'll put an end to war. Their swords will be made into
shakers.
Farming tools. No, shakers. farming tools, you know, their spears will be made into things for agriculture and whatnot. And there will be peace. And there will be peace on the land. So the aim is obviously for wars. You know, it says, and they shall learn war no more. And they shall train in wars no more. So yeah, in an ideal world, and when the earth is renewed, there will be no wars. But while they exist, we are where we are. And it's interesting because, like I said, things are escalating in the world. Whether it will go into a global conflict or not, we don't know. But listen, I think most generations have lived through war. And if you look, there's a theory of the cycle of the world. So if you look through histories, you can pretty much predict what's going to happen next. Obviously, technology will be different, players will be different and whatnot. But if you look at the events, they're pretty much, there's nothing new under the sun, you know. And based on that model, we drew a war.
And I am glad that I have Chin here and Fasani who are gonna pick up rifles and go defend me.
I'm not gonna lie. Don't get me.
Go fight.
Fighting on the front lines wouldn't be my first choice. Not because I don't want to, but because I feel like my skills would be better served elsewhere.
Where?
But more like
hype HR. Music. For the soldiers.
Do you not need to find the soldiers, enroll them? Who's gonna pay them? Who's gonna sort out their money? You want after the war the soldiers to be poor? Do you need someone to keep track of all of that?
I think we just found our compromising place. Christians, <Hesha. laughs>
No, but having said that, if they need to pick up arms and go, what was there?
Actually said HR.
No, but having said that, if the requirement to go pick up was there, without a second thought, I would go.
I would go.
And I have thought about it.
For me, never mind the war aspect. I think for me, it's just the quick death thing that I don't fancy. I think if I'm gonna die,
that's your fault for going to war and planning to conflict. Die. Some of us are planning to come back.
I'm not gonna come back.
Wow,
this is why people don't like war. Yeah. You see, here's the Israelites. Like, you know why they wandered 40 years? Mm-hmm. Because of a few people like him. Remember, God said he couldn't take them through lands because they've never known war,
exactly,
and their hearts will grow faint. People like him.
Listen, just
they would have seen the first spear. They would have been like, oh,
not even see the first spear.
So it can hit them.
A child is playing with a stone. He just drops.